Are you tired of feeling like you have no purpose? You don't know where you're going in life? You feel like maybe you need to find your destiny, you know? Maybe you need to find what you are made for. Why not embark on a journey? Right here on Food for Thought with Pastor Kevin and Pastor Vicky Anslin.
Start off by asking you a question, and I don't want you to be religious in your answers within yourself. I want you to be honest with yourself. And the question is, do you have faith in God? Do you really believe Him? Do you really trust Him? Do you obey His word? That thing which He says do or don't, do you obey His word because you believe it's true? Do you obey the word of God because you actually believe it's true? And so today we are looking at, as we've been looking at being, we have conquest, born to conquer. And we were born to conquer because we are leaders. Every single one of us sitting here. God has made us leaders. And we looked at, over the past few weeks, that we are leaders to reproduce. God has created inside of us the ability to reproduce. Now, we live in a world where everything is set up for us to stop reproducing. You look at abortion. Abortion is made so that we can stop. Because of sin, because of whatever reason, we stop reproducing. If you look at the whole LGBT thing, it is two men or two women cannot reproduce. And so the world system sets it up that so that we as people do not reproduce. But God has made it that we should conquer. So we were born to conquer, but how do we conquer without the blood of Jesus? Because, you know, we cannot even overcome ourselves without the blood of Jesus. I don't know if you realize there is stuff inside of us that we cannot conquer without the blood of Jesus. And Matthew 13 starts by saying, "And Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea." So yes, Jesus, He walks out of the house and He sits by the sea. But we all know Jesus doesn't just sit. Jesus wasn't thinking, "I need a tan. I need to get some rest. I'm tired. It's been a tough week. I need a sabbatical." No. Jesus, the Bible says, He walked out of the house and He went and He sat by the sea, and it says the multitudes began to gather. The multitudes began to gather. The thousands, the tens of thousands, they began to gather. Then Jesus gets up and He gets into a boat so that He can speak to the multitudes. And you know, the Bible says they stood on the shore to listen. It's the first time I noticed that. For me, they were sitting. There's nothing wrong with sitting. They were sitting and listening. No, they stood on the shore to listen. They were hungry to hear what Jesus was going to say. And Jesus would teach them in parables. And the Bible says, He starts by saying, a sower went out to sow. And some seed fell by the wayside. And some seed fell by the stony places. And some seed fell on thorns. But there were some seed that fell on good ground. And then He keeps quiet, and His disciples get into a boat and they row to Jesus. And they say to Him, "Jesus," and He goes, And they say, "Why do you always speak to them in parables?" And Jesus says to them, now the last thing He said before the disciples got in the boat, He said, "Let him who has ears, let him hear." I wonder why Jesus would say that. You know, maybe you're a child here and your parent says the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And actually what your parent is trying to say is, if you would just have ears and hear. Or maybe your parents, and you're trying to teach the same thing over and over again, and you're saying they're not seeing, they're not hearing. But if we look at ourselves with the Word of God, we hear it over and over. Or we listen to what the law is over and over, and yet people still steal. And so the disciples say to him, "Why do you do that?" And Jesus says to them, "Because the hearts of these people have grown dull. And because their hearts have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed." You see, unless they understand and their hearts turn, I cannot heal them. I don't know if you get how powerful that is. Unless they understand the Word of God and revelation comes, repentance comes, and they change and turn, I cannot heal them. And then he says to the disciples, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." What an expectation Jesus has on us today. What he's saying here is, you are not dull. You should have repented. You should understand. And blessed are you because you see and you hear. And then he tells them, you see, some seed would fall by the wayside, some by stony places, some on thorns. But there will be seed that will fall on good ground. This seed bears fruit and produces 100-fold or 60-fold or 30-fold. You see, he doesn't say this seed will be successful enough to produce one. There is fruit and there it produces. This is conquest. And so how do we overcome hard times here? How do we overcome those hard times? And I want to share something. If you were on the women's encounter, you would have heard this. And if you were in grads on Friday, you would have heard this. But Sasha Lee at the encounter shared such a good story. She was speaking about wounds and on situations that can really get us. You know, when life gets tough and you go, I don't know what to do. It's like we forget that overwhelming victory is ours through the blood of Jesus. And we're in this, I don't know. And it's just a little story of a little boy who comes to his dad and goes, "How do we get through the tough times? You know, life can be tough. How do we get through the tough times?" And the father puts three pots on the stove. He fills each pot with water and he begins to let it boil. In the one pot, he puts potatoes. In the other pot, he puts eggs. And in the third pot, he puts coffee beans. And then after 15 minutes, the little boy is waiting. He's like, "I just asked a question, Dad." He says, "My boy, look at the first pot. What happened to the hard potatoes?" He says, "Dad, they became soft." He says, "My boy, look in the second pot. What happened to the eggs, the soft eggs on the inside? Dad, they became hard." And then he says, "My boy, what happened to the third pot? What happened to those coffee beans?" And the water disappeared and everything became coffee. We know that. Scientifically, we know what happens to each of those three. But you see, in life, when the storms come, when the difficult situations come, when that rejection comes, when that disappointment comes, we can become like mashed potatoes. Compromising, mushy on the inside, soft on the inside, as in just whatever goes. Or we can become like that hard-boiled egg. We can become bitter and angry. Or we can become like the coffee beans that permeated the water, that changed the atmosphere around it, that actually changed the thing that caused the first pot and the second pot to go bad. No, this time the coffee beans changed that which tried to change it. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying there's seed that is falling. And we've got to make sure that we are good seed. We can't be on the wayside, becoming soft and compromising. And so the stony places, we looked last week at the wayside. But now today, the stony places. You see, there was no room for the roots to grow when the seed fell in the stony places. The sun came up and began to scorch the plant, and it withered away. It offered no resistance to that person. And this can happen. We come and we receive the word with joy, like, man, I'm inspired. And God goes, I want you to be so much more than inspired. I want you to be changed. Because the soil here was shallow. It was superficial. You know, we can hear the word and be so pumped up. And then sickness comes. Or a hurt or a wound comes. And it takes us out completely. We don't even know if we trust God anymore. We don't even know if we believe God anymore. We've got to be like the coffee. We've got to permeate and change the atmosphere. We've got to trust God and believe God. What did God say to Peter? Peter, have faith. What did God say to people when they came to him for healing? Have faith. What is God saying to us in our every situation? Will you trust me? Will you believe me? Will you hold me at my word? That's what it means to have faith. It means that I won't wither. I won't conquer. I get conquered. He wants us to conquer, but he doesn't want the situation to conquer us. And we've got to begin to look at ourselves. Are we compromising or are we shallow in the way we do things? And we've got to test what, when we vote, what are we voting for? And maybe you don't vote. But the question is, if you did vote, what would you vote for? Because in our society, we can get so stuck on voting for culture or voting for things that we stand for and not what the Bible stands for. And so when we're voting, are we protecting white privilege if we're voting? Are we voting for land? Are we voting because everyone says that? Or are we looking at what the Word of God says? When it comes to the issues of abortion, what are we standing for? When it comes to LGBT, whatever, the alphabet, what are you standing for? And the thing is, when God spoke to Abraham and he spoke to Sarah, he said, I will make you a father of nations. And Sarah, I will make you a mother of nations. God was not confused. And he didn't go, well, there will be some others. We'll think about it later. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know because it's coming in next year. They are fighting for it. As far as I know, it's been legislated to come through. But the CSE education, which will be children from the age of 4 that will be taught explicit sex education. Explicit sex education. And what are we doing? Are we going, and then we carry on with everyday life. Are we fighting it in prayer? Are we standing up? Are we making a noise and making our voice, putting our voice out there? I don't know what will happen to children. I don't know. There's already so much brokenness that we as Christians have to fix because God has called us, right? All of us, right? He's called us. And you know, when God convicts you, when God convicts you about something, he's actually saying, will you die to yourself and your flesh? Will you die to yourself and your flesh? And I've shared this, but I, when putting this together, knew I needed to share this. But in 1995, I remember God speaking to me and saying to me, I don't want you to drink anymore. I had never gotten drunk in my life, ever. So if we went to a wedding and there was some champagne, I would drink a glass of champagne. I had never gotten drunk. But I really, really through a few circumstances, I really, really, and God confirmed it 3 times to me, I want you to stop drinking. I did not know in 1995 that this would be the picture of our lives. I did not know that. But I did know God had asked me a question. You see, God, when he's convicting us, he's asking, will you die to yourself? And I remember speaking to Gavin. We were newly married, and I said to him, God has convicted me of this, and we together decided we would never drink again. The question is, if God convicts you, what do you say? And I've heard lots of strange testimonies. I can remember a pastor's son, a famous pastor's son, standing up and saying, God has convicted me of giving up surfing. Surfing. You're like, psh, surfing. But you see, all his time, all his passion went into surfing. What God was actually saying to him was, will you die to yourself and your flesh and give this up for me. Today, this same son runs a church in America. I'm sure he at this age wouldn't be surfing, but what would he be doing with his life if he didn't obey the Lord? And I can remember once, many years ago, speaking to, there was a couple and they were living together. And I remember speaking to them and she had said to me, I'm so convicted of staying together. I'm just so bound because we cannot pay Lebola. And I know God's telling me not to live together. And I didn't have an answer. I obviously knew that if God, they shouldn't be living together. And God is telling them they need to obey. They need to die to their flesh. And we prayed and said, Lord, will you show us? And the very next day she came to me and said, you won't believe it. My mother came to me and said to me, we don't want the Lebola money anymore. We want you guys to get married. Do what is right in the eyes of God. We don't want the money anymore. What a miracle. You know that's a miracle according to culture. And you know what? She didn't obey. She remained living, eventually broke up and moved out, and today is in a lesbian relationship. The question is, when God is convicting you of something, what are you saying to him? What do you do when God says, no, don't do that? What do you do? What will happen to others if you don't obey? What will happen to other people? Because if we're in this reproducing, conquer, leadership, isn't it about others? Are we not leading others by example? Are we not leading others because we love them? You see, when you say no to something that God has said to you, I want you to give it up to you, don't love others. But when you say, Lord, I will do it, I'll die to my flesh. Oh, I don't know if I'll manage, but I'm going to do my best. God will never ask you to do something you're not able to do. He will never give you a task that he would not help you come through on. And so what will happen to others if you don't obey? But the question is, what will happen to you if you don't obey? You know, I remember the movie The Lion King. We just watched it recently because it's the new one. And if you look at The Lion King, just an example of how he ran away because of lies and deceit, right? And he didn't step into his rightful place. You know what happens when people don't step into their rightful place? And we all have a rightful place. But when people don't step into a rightful place, evil will reign. And good people will suffer. When we don't step into our rightful place in our marriage, with our children, in our workplace, in our community, and in our nation, evil will reign and good people will suffer. And if you look at it, we have no rights without the blood of Jesus. We have no conquest without the blood of Jesus. But by the blood of Jesus, we have overwhelming victory because of his blood. It's not that we don't want to change. It's actually, we don't really want to change. It's possibly that we just want to look good. You know, like where you're counseling maybe a couple or with someone and they're like, yes, they've got it. And then you watch them walk to the car and you can see they're fighting. It's not that they want to change. It's actually that they just, in front of people, we just want to look good. Doesn't the Bible say that's just a form of godliness? God doesn't want us to look like that. He doesn't want us to look good as parents. He wants us to be good as parents. He doesn't want us to look good as a husband. He wants us to be good as a husband. He doesn't want us to look good as a wife. He wants us to be good as a wife. He doesn't want us to look good as children. He wants us to be good as children. And so we need to die to ourselves. But you see, we cannot have God and be God. We have to die to ourselves. If we are lovers of ourselves, we are God to ourselves. But if we want God, it means we have to lay ourselves down And we cannot have conquest unless we lay ourselves down. And we've been looking at the blood of Jesus and that we have overwhelming victory through the blood of Jesus. But we have to believe him. We have to believe him when life gets tough. We have to believe him when things are hard. We have to believe him when we cannot see the conquest. We have to believe him. And if you look at Abraham, as I was reading the word this morning, and as I was reading, it said that Abraham believed the promises of God, and that God said God would certainly do what he promised. How beautiful is that? That God would certainly do what he promises. And Abraham believed God, and he received what God promised. And we read that and like, psh, God is so good. But he waited 25 years. Are we prepared to wait and yet walk in obedience? Faith is believing in that which we cannot yet see, but we walk in it, believing it, trusting in God and having faith. And really, I want to encourage you, young people, the pressure out there is bad. The pressure out there is hard. And it's not different for an adult. But the pressure in school, you're in masses of kids who are peer pressure to do the wrong thing is great. Can we have a youth generation that will rise up and look different to the world? Can we have a youth generation that when they hear the voice of God say, don't, they say, Lord, I will lay myself down. I will die to my flesh. And I promise you, when we die to our flesh, we never lose. We never, never, never lose. God uses that to raise us up because he's working on our character. Young people, you don't need to drink. You don't need to smoke. You don't need to take drugs. You don't need to have sex. You will not die. You need to do what the word of God says and wait until you are married. If I can encourage you, if you do not have your parents' approval, don't marry the person. Every person I've counseled where I'm going, oh my goodness, this really is a mess. I'm not talking stupid little fights, and I'm talking serious stuff. Orgies with other people. I'm talking serious stuff. And I say, can I ask you a question? When you got married, did you have your parents' approval? Every time they've gone, no, my parents didn't want me to marry this person. So you don't know it all. You don't know it all. And there are people that are looking out for you who want the best for you. But can I ask us to rise up to a point where you actually want the best for you? You are the one that's seeking the will of God. You are the one who's actually living in conquest and being the leader that God has put over your life to be.
Jesus will stay.
The exceptional new act of worship album, As Above, So Below, is out. Get your very own copy on iTunes.
Resurrection is what we live for, restoring people back to miracle, unfolding, magnificent.
Also available on Spotify, Deezer, Apple Music, and so much more.
As above, so